All right, everybody, welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. We're going to get some general market commentary on the junior exploration stocks and on the TSX Venture Exchange. Listen, I'm happy to really welcome in Rob Sin, CEO technician, for this big discussion because, as Rob just pointed out, the TSX Venture is in an uptrend. Higher highs, higher lows. I don't even know what to do with myself, Rob.
Yeah, Trevor, it's great to be back. I pulled up this chart as we were speaking for the first time in a month, and we're in an uptrend. I mean, this is a 50-day moving average pointing up, sloping up. We're way above the 50-day. We're at 2024 highs as we speak right now. We're still at 603 on the venture composite index. So it's not like a huge thing. I mean, it's up 10% year to date, which is obviously not fantastic when you consider $5 copper and $2,400 gold. But hey, we'll take a small win if we can get it.
Yeah, absolutely. It only took, as you said, $2,400 gold, $5 copper, and all of a sudden, our market is back. Listen, maybe let's talk about some of the juniors. You just came back from Vancouver and the Metals Investor Forum. I want to give a kind of a sense of sentiment and kind of gauging what the discussions were like there those few days. And we have seen some buying, some big moves, you know, double-digit moves in some of these juniors that I know both you and I hold in our own portfolios. But even others that, you know, perhaps we don't hold, we're seeing some bids come in. So, you know, this is not necessarily that sell in May and go away type of mentality, that seasonality that we have come to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think seasonality works most of the time, most years. But when structural changes are at hand, and things that one doesn't see very often are happening, like the move in copper in the last couple of weeks, then you can kind of throw that seasonality out the window. Vancouver was a great trip for me. I love Vancouver in May. The weather is turning. The city's coming alive. Their hockey team is in the second round of the playoffs. People were in good spirits. But, you know, I got to say, the fact the weather is good is an excuse for people not to come inside to a conference, granted. But, you know, gold, $23.85 last Friday afternoon. Copper, we know about silver, above $29. You would think that there would be a really strong turnout to a mining-focused conference with these kinds of moves in metals. The turnout for my presentation was pretty good. I was happy with an almost full room. But generally speaking, I thought the turnout was a little on the light side. I think a lot of the company booths were just kind of waiting for somebody to show up every hour. Which is just, it's bizarre that we're seeing a bull market absolutely take hold, and including in the junior mining sector, not just in the gold price itself, but in the junior mining sector, the bull market is definitely starting. And if you need confirmation, I don't know what to tell you. It's starting. But people just don't care, Trevor. People don't care.
No.
They don't care.
Why would they care, Rob? S&P, NASDAQ, they're at all-time highs this week. You know, we've got a little ammunition for the Federal Reserve to cut rates, possibly. I don't know if they will this year. And we maybe get into that discussion.
NVIDIA, but, yeah.
I mean, listen.
You've got to keep NVIDIA. That's all you need.
I mean, I kind of think that we're in a pretty good situation here as far as the precious metals and the miners markets go, because as long as there's a ton of money still on the sidelines, not coming into this sector, and we're seeing kind of that traditional foundational capital finally return after 2 or 3 years, but not the speculation, I think this thing's got a long way to run.
I agree with you. I mean, I look at some companies in my portfolio. One is AE, the other one is REG. REG on the venture, AE on the venture, both sort of copper juniors. And I just look at their charts and the way these stocks are trading. And this is bull market action. Okay. This is bull market action. I mean, for example, with REG, huge impulse in March, volume, everything, price expands. It consolidates for almost the whole month of April, just sideways. And now it's taking the second leg up. And this is the way markets work. I mean, you could call it waves. There's three waves in a bull market or whatever language you want to use. But that's what happens in a bull market. You have a big impulse, a big uptrend. You rest for a bit. You consolidate. And then the next wave of buyers takes it up to the next level. And you do it all over again. Mm-hmm. And when we're really starting to see this healthy action, this is not pump and dump kind of moves. This is real buying. Like, this is real money buying. And the company whose hat I'm wearing, who I think you know pretty well, look at their chart. RDG on the venture has turned up nicely in the last week or so. And today, big buyer comes in right off the open, bidding it up. This is not due to some kind of, hypey news or anything. There's no news. This is real organic buying. Shareholders want more shares.
Yeah. Defiant Silver had a huge couple days this week. If you watch that chart, Mag Silver, big day today, even despite a somewhat flat silver day on the silver price. Mag Silver was roaring higher. I mean, there is liquidity coming back into it. You know, Rob, let's talk about maybe the opportunity here for some of us who like plugged our nose and did some buying in the last year, very, very cheap. I'll be honest with you. And some of these companies, when I see this liquidity opportunity, I'm selling some of that cheap paper. I'm taking some profits. You can judge me for all you want to, but nobody went
broke. It's a free country, Trevor. It's a free country. The last I checked, you're allowed to sell.
That's right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, listen, if you've been holding on to a lot of these things, you've suffered through that 2-year bear market. You plugged your nose. You bought that cheap paper when nobody else really wanted to, when those financings that were really hard for those companies to jump into. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong taking a little bit of profit. I mean, you should be rewarded for doing what nobody else wanted to do.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, you should. You should. And you should free up some cash on big rallies to maybe take advantage of new opportunities. Or maybe if there's a dip, you can buy that. I talked a bit about that at my presentation on Friday at MIF. You gotta take profits on some big moves. But you've talked about the bigger opportunities. So let's talk big picture. So I'm talking like 10, 20 year big picture. Zoom out that venture chart. I know it's not a good chart. I know it's not a good index, but we'll just use that for now. If you want to use something else, you can. But this is just the first inning. I mean, I'm sorry. This is just the first inning. Maybe gold itself, this is not the first inning in gold. It might be the fourth inning or fifth inning. I'm not sure. But for the juniors, these guys have been waiting at the station all the way up until March and just started to see the first real buying impulse at the end of March. So here we are in mid-May. We're not even 2 months into this thing. Okay. I mean, that's the way I see it. So when you look back to bull market periods, 2003, 2004, even 2009 to 2011, these bull markets lasted for a minimum of 18 months. We're talking about real bull markets. We're not talking about the pandemic bull market of April to August 2020 that lasted for 4 months. We're talking about a real bull market that had structural buying. Going back to that 2004 time period, that was the China bull awakens. China's appetite for metals and commodities was almost unlimited, right? And then that the 2009 to 2011 bull run was just an extension of that, right? And it's kind of no accident that maybe China is not driving the entire world these days, but they're certainly having a big influence in the gold market right now. So I feel like this is just getting started, and you know, the structural tailwinds for a metal like copper are pronounced, they're long lasting, and they're increasing. They're growing in magnitude by the day. So whether it's AI data centers or the green economy, or making more tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles or fighter jets or whatever, we need copper in everything. It's literally the fabric of life. So that demand is pretty strong. And while, you know, I say 450 to 515 in less than 2 weeks is a very explosive move. But look, right. It's consolidating. It's just consolidating in the 490s. I mean, that's pretty healthy. I it's hard for me to get bearish. Like, I would not even consider trying to short copper here.
No, fair enough. There's a couple of specific stories, and we don't need to go into deep detail here, but within the exploration industry, Rob, some headlines, and we'd love to get some quick thoughts from you. Awale Resources, Stephen Stewart, OreCorp, is taking control of that board. There was some, you know, criticized insider selling of options shortly after that exploration success. We've seen that, but they've got new board members, two gentlemen in, Anthony Moreau, as you mentioned, CEO of American Eagle. He's on the board, and then two gentlemen who practiced some of that selling the other week. They're out. Is this appropriate? Shakeup of that board justified, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, very justified. I mean, the day that those SETI filings crossed, I was out in the field in Arizona, you know, looking at a project on a site visit, and I opened my phone and I saw the CEO channel and these SETI filings. Like, what the hell? And because it just, the optics look so awful. And then they obviously, the financing came a couple hours later. And I was like, oh my God, like, you couldn't have done a really worse job in terms of the optics of the whole thing. And I know Stephen Stewart was not approving of that. I don't really know the details, but I think we can see by the news this morning sort of what went down. And there's two board members who are out who probably had something to do with some of that behavior. And there's two new board members. And I think one of the board members, the gentleman from the Ivory Coast, is a very important key addition to the team. You need diversity on a board. You need local, you know, inclusion. And obviously Tony is a great guy and he's doing a great job, you know, with American Eagle. I'm very, very bullish on that one. It's one of my largest holdings. So I'm a huge fan of Awale here. And I kind of saw this coming. I figured they'd close the financing. There would be something at the board level. There'd be some changes that would happen, and they would get back on track. You know, and I sort of said to my premium group that, look, I know the optics are bad, and they've been criticized a lot. You look at the CEO channel, and on certain days, and it was a bloody mess. But drill another great hole, and it's all forgiven. You know, this is a what have you done for me lately, you know, sort of industry. And this is now an all-star team with $12 million in the bank and a hell of a project. So I feel like this is just getting started.
Yeah, the market appreciated the news this morning. They were up very meaningfully. Speaking of board changes, former Westome CEO Duncan Middlemiss is taking over Arizona Metals. That was big news. Pretty interesting. You know, there was a time Duncan was like the poster child of best gold mining CEOs out there not too long ago. Westome was just raking in cash and great exploration success. So now he's moving into Arizona. I mean, that's got to be pretty meaningful for those shareholders who are expecting that K Mine project to move towards construction, you know, permitting and construction.
Yeah, you know, my take on it is that he's a good CEO. I'm not sure what happened there at the end, you know, Westome, but he's a good CEO. It's a good addition, you know, to the Arizona team. And, you know, and I look at the stock, you know, with 31 million in cash and the kind of, you know, results that they've put out. And I feel like there's an opportunity there in AMC. And I think obviously some people sort of agree with me this morning. It's up 11%. You know, I look at the chart, it's been bottoming out for the last several months. It's sort of forming a bit of a head and shoulders bottom. Needs a little more upside to sort of confirm that. But I like, you know, I like that setup there. And I think that's a great addition.
Yeah. I also always appreciate when you see these management changes and it seems that it was supported by the outgoing management team.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty, we saw something very similar from Western Copper and Gold, right? When Paul Wessel stepped down as CEO and as president.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty, pretty interesting. Last one is we have not talked about, this is the first time we're talking about this news on MSD.
Oh,
Red Pine Exploration.
You hit me with that one, huh?
Oh yeah. All right. Batter up, buddy. Oh, what a mess. What a mess. Where was quality control?
So, first, let me, not a shareholder, never been a shareholder, not an expert on the company by any stretch. Obviously, I follow the sector closely, so I do read news releases. So I did read the last couple of news releases from Red Pine. My first takeaway is I'm sad for the industry. Because obviously, to some extent, I work in this industry. I live in this industry. I invest in this industry. It's a big part of my life. So I never want to see this kind of behavior, period. You know, we get a lot of bad press for all kinds of stuff. Tailings dams fail or what have you. But definitely, you know, integrity is an important word in life. And once it's lost, it's pretty much impossible to get it back, or at least not easily, right? And we saw that with Briex in the 90s in this sector. And although I was too young to be an investor at the time, I've read the books, I've heard the stories. And basically, it led to a five-year, just the sector shut down for 5 years. Following that, right? Because it was such a big deal and confidence had been lost. So I think that the industry as a whole needs to take action here to regain and really, you know, instill trust in assays. Because at the end of the day, most of this game is pending assays. We put in our money and financings, we buy stocks, companies go out to drill, and we're pending assays for 2 or 3 months, and then the assays come back and we take them at 100% face value that these are laboratory certified, these are very high level of certainty on the results, and we take them at face value. There's absolutely no chance that there could be any kind of fraud. And you know, look, 99.99% of the time, there's not any fraud and the results are correct. But every once in a while, we get a really bad actor. And this appears to be the case here. I think it just logically not being, an expert on the assay trail myself, but logically, anytime you're dealing with big sums of money in a business, there's more than two people to verify a transaction. There's a third person. When you go to the bank and you withdraw a big sum of cash, they ask another teller to come over to watch the count, to verify the count. You need a third party verification process here. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. There's no way that it should just be lab to one guy. One guy certifies his own assays and then puts out news to public financial markets. That doesn't make any sense. There has to be a third, and maybe there's an opportunity for a new business here, third party assay verification. I don't know.
Very well could be. That's I think you're right. It's been an unfortunate I mean, maybe the bull market's kind of been quieting the story down. I think if this would have happened a year ago, it would have been probably headline news throughout the sector. But fortunately, there's a lot of buying going on, which has kind of been drowning that story out. But one to pay attention to, nonetheless. All right, Rob, let's leave it at that. Thanks so much. Always appreciate our conversation. Glad to have you back at home, and we can connect hopefully on a regular basis. And I look forward to the next time we chat.
It's my pleasure. I'll see you in Florida in July.
There you go. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.